It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. Lord, we come before You today with praise, with singing, with thanksgiving. We enter into Your courts with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. We are thankful for Your goodness. We are thankful for Your faithfulness. We're thankful for Your mercy, Your grace. We come to give You praise. We come to clap our hands. We come to lift and raise our hands. We come to lift our voices. We come to praise You with all that is within us, Lord, for You are worthy. You are mighty. You are an awesome God. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Come on, give Him a big hand of praise this morning. praise God. You know, the Bible says here in Romans in chapter 10, in verse 13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now we know that that is talking about and including salvation, that when we confess Jesus as Lord of our life, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But this is, there's more to this than only that, because the word saved that is used in that verse in the Greek is the word sozo, and it literally means salvation, healing, protection, restoration, preservation, safety, victory, provision. It really applies to every area of your life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We sang in the song about the power of the name of Jesus. What was the line in the song we just sang? Jesus' name above every other. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It makes me think of the account in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were on their way to church. They were on their way to the temple. And they saw a crippled man. And the crippled man looked up and he was asking for money. You know? And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And the Bible says that when the people saw what happened, they started to praise Peter and, who was it? Peter and John. They started to lift them up. "These men are gods. These men are gods." And Peter and John stopped them. They said, "No, no, no, we're human just like you are." They said, this is what they said. They said it was because of faith in the name of Jesus that this man stands before you whole. They said it was because of the name of Jesus, because the Bible says the name of Jesus has been highly exalted above every name, and that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. So we want to pray this morning for anybody who needs prayer. Whatever it is that you are facing, I want you to know that if you will reach out and call upon the Lord and put your trust in Him, He said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen.
He said, "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things." So this morning, we come to call upon the Lord. We're not here to call upon Steve. Please don't call upon Steve. We're not here to call upon Alan. We're here to call upon Jesus. We're here to call upon the Lord. We look to Him. And we want to pray for anyone this morning who needs prayer. If you say, "Pastor Steve, I have been struggling in this area of my life, and I would like you to pray, I'd like someone to pray for me." Because let me tell you, family, God can set you free. God can give you victory. God can meet every need. He can restore. He can do miracles. The Bible says that there's nothing that is impossible for Him. And so we want to pray for you this morning. And I want to ask you, if you need prayer, I want you to come out right now. Just step out into the aisle. Step out into the aisle so that we can see you. Or come and stand up here with me for a moment. And let us pray with you. Let us call upon the Lord. Amen. Just step out into the aisle and we'll know you need prayer. And I'm going to ask all my prayer partners all of our prayer team, you know who you are. Please will you help me and get around somebody who's in the aisle and pray with them. Call on the Lord. Use the mighty name of Jesus. Take authority right now over every problem, over every addiction, over every lack, every need, whatever it is. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want you to pray for them right now. Just go ahead and find someone and pray. Pray with them.
Please, and you are mine. presence that floods this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you have freedom. We give you freedom and liberty to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to show us things to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Morning, family.
Morning.
Are you good? It's so true, you know, just what we were saying, I think about my own life from young. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. You can always come to the Lord. I got saved young, and you have different issues you deal with when you're 15 than you do when you're 50, right? But God is always there and always faithful and always has the answer and always leads and guides you. So I'm so grateful this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Greet someone, tell them good to see you, and you may sit down. Church, if someone brought you here today, you've never been before, or maybe you just walked in, we just like to honor you, give you something right where you're sitting. We won't embarrass you. Our ushers have got a little gift pack they'd like to hand to you. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Is anyone here for the first time? I feel like I see some faces. Thank you. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by, just drop that in and give the pastor an opportunity to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So we thank you for doing that.
Good morning, everybody. Glad that you're in church. Are you glad?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, this morning we are having a baby dedication, and I'm going to ask if Ebony would come forward and bring her mom with her. So I'm going to ask Danny to come forward with your family and come and stand up here with me. Children come to me
Don't stop then, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. Now notice that Jesus placed his hands upon the children's heads, the Bible says, and he blessed them. That's the only place in the Bible where we find children being, what we call it is dedicating. I believe it's dedicating your children to the Lord. There's nowhere in the Bible where they ever baptized or christened the children. Now, when I was a baby, I was christened. But there's nowhere in the scriptures where they ever baptized children because there's no purpose, there's no reason. Baptism is something that you, a choice you make when you come to an age of understanding and you give your heart to the Lord. The Bible says you repent and then you get baptized. So there'll come a day when Ebony will be baptized, but today we are dedicating her to the Lord. She's a gift from the Lord. The Bible says children are a blessing from God. Children are a blessing from God. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. I'm just saying. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you have to remind yourself, oh Lord, this is a blessing. But we know that Ebony is such a blessing to you. She's so beautiful and we are going to dedicate her to the Lord today. We're going to pray that God will protect her, God will guide her all the days of her life. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, praying over your children isn't something that you do just one time on a special occasion. But you can pray over your children every day.
Amen.
You can pray over them and bless them in the name of Jesus. And I encourage you to do that. To pray over them. We're going to do it with you today, aren't we? Aren't we, everybody?
Right.
So I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands out toward little Ebony today. And there's the grandparents over here. And the aunts. The sister. Aunt, Lord, we thank you so much for little Ebony, Lord. What a blessing she is. And we thank you for her. And as I lay my hands upon her, Lord, I bless her and I dedicate her unto you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that your angels protect her all the days of her life, everywhere she goes, that the angels of the Lord encamp about her. And I thank you that you direct her. You direct her footsteps. You guide her life. And Lord, I pray that your perfect will, your plan and your purpose for her life will be fulfilled. I thank you, Lord, for providing for her, for guiding her, for protecting her. And Lord, I thank you for using her to do great things in this world. I thank you that she will be a history maker. I thank you, Lord, that she will leave an impact on her generation. I thank you that, Lord, her life will bring great glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen.
Amen.
And such a good little baby. Never cried one bit. Never. Isn't that so? Sometimes I'm praying over children and they're crying. And I'm praying. But this is such a good little girl. Huh? She likes church. She likes to come to church. Amen. Now we have a certificate that we're going to give to you, a baby dedication certificate, so you can remember this day. But we want to congratulate you. I think we should pray over a daddy as well. I think we should pray for her too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for daddy. But Lord, we just thank you that you are with her, that you help her, you protect her, you provide for her, you guide her, Lord, as she raises Ebony and trains her up in the ways of the Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that Ebony will serve you all the days of her life. And I just thank you, Lord, for helping Danny and that you are with her, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. God bless you. Congratulations. I hope we got some good pictures there, right? Did we get some pictures there? You do the pictures today? Praise God. Well, listen, everybody. I want to just remind you that we have
We're now in January. We are believing and expecting that we'll be in our new building in the month of April.
Yes.
And this Tuesday night, we have our final zoning at the city. We had a month ago, we had the, where the city council would, they had to meet to vote on the zoning, and they approved it. And so now on Tuesday, we will be receiving our zoning certificate. And then on Wednesday, we will be applying for a building permit to start renovating. And we will be, we will start renovating the building during the months of January. And we are trusting, I'm believing that we'll be in there by the month of April. Will you be praying and believing with us? Here's our new building. And we are excited about it. We really are. So I want to ask you on Tuesday night, if you can, please come and support us at the city where we were last time. It would be good if we had a good showing there. It's at 7 p.m. I trust it won't take long. There's no fireworks on the agenda this time. And so, but if you can Tuesday, please come join us at the city council where we were last time on Indian Town Road and Military. And we would really appreciate that. We want to thank all of our volunteers who served today in church. Why don't you give all of our volunteers a great round of applause? We appreciate them so much. We couldn't do this without you. We're a team. We thank our setup team who were here early this morning. And then they'll be breaking down afterwards. And we want to thank our ushers and our greeters and our media team, our musicians and singers and our prayer team, everyone who's volunteered, everyone who's helped, our children's church teachers, we appreciate you, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen, we do. Now, today we have, no, I'm going to hand back to you, right? Because we have a special guest with us, a good friend of mine. I'm going to introduce him in a moment. But you are going to be, we're going to be worshiping God with our giving this morning. How many of you know that God loves when we give? That our giving is actually worship to God. You know that?
Praise God. Well, we're still in January. Can you believe it? It's kind of going on forever, isn't it? It's a long month. But, you know, we were talking about last week about vision and about goals. And at the beginning of each new year, we all think of ways we can improve our lives, right? So we have different goals. We think of physical goals. I don't know of anyone who didn't say, I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm going to get a little bit more exercising. I'm going to get fitter than I was. Even Pastor Steve took a run the other day. We won the encore. He's coming. Two runs and I did it, right? Okay. So it worked. Physical, we have physical goals and we have mental goals. I know of someone that said they're going to read 2 books every month, so it's 24 books in a year. And that's quite a goal, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many, you may want to study further your degree. So there's so many different ways that we think of spiritual life that you want to get ahead in. But can you just move on for me? Thank you. So in spiritual life, we think of ways that we can become more consistent in our church attendance, in reading the Bible, in praying. I know everybody's thought of that when we were talking about it last week. But I want to encourage you in the area of your finances, because God actually issues a challenge to us. In Malachi, he says this. He says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord all-powerful, have spoken. I just want to give you 3 quick Bible facts about the tithe. First of all, what is the tithe? You know, that's an old-fashioned word, and people, you know, it's not something we use in our everyday language. It's kind of like church talk. But what is the tithe? It's basically 10% of whatever I am blessed with. And really, what I love about it is that it levels the playing field. Because each one of us does our part. That's the way that God's designed it. So the tithe is 10%. Where is the tithe given? The Bible says it's given to the storehouse or the local church, where you get fed. You know, you may have eaten something for breakfast today, or you're definitely going to eat something for lunch, but today it's spiritual food that we're receiving, right? When we receive the Word of God, Jesus equated that to bread. It is spiritual food. And so we receive that in the local church. Wherever we get spiritually fed, if this is where you come to be spiritually fed, that's where the tithe goes. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, it's not to be divided up. Sometimes people say, well, you know, my sick aunt, I need to send some money to her, or somebody who has a great need, I'm going to send part of my tithe to them, or to a TV evangelist. Are you welcome to give to what, you know, it's good to give in various ways, but the tithe, the Bible says, belongs to the storehouse. So that's two of them. Now, thirdly, when is it given? When is the tithe given? It's given first. It's given off the gross. We're often asked that question. But you know, you don't, if we were to say, oh, well, I'll have my taxes off and then I, you know, pay my mortgage and then I pay, then we're basically giving God leftovers.
Right.
We're not giving the first tenth, right?
Yeah.
So it's the first tenth. So of every dollar I receive, the first 10 cents is a tithe to the Lord. Whether we do it or whether we don't, God considers it as His. So He says, return it to me. In Proverbs 3 verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we always see that it's first. And Deuteronomy 14 verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. So it's really very clearly stated in the Word. God really lays out His whole plan and His purpose and why He does it. He said, I want you to keep me first in your life.
Yeah.
And you know, money's a big thing. We give a lot of our time and effort and life and hours of every week in order to earn money. It's very close to us, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
But say money's not that important. Well, it's important enough for us to give hours to earn, right? And God says something that is that important to you. I want to see if I'm more important to you than that. So He wants to be first in our lives. He issues this tithe challenge, and thankfully He adds a promise at the end of it. No, He could just tell us what to do, but He doesn't. He says, when you do this, He says, I challenge you to bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there'll be food in my house. There's a purpose for it. It's so that church can run. It's so that other people can come in and receive the Word of God. We're sitting here because somebody else was faithful to tithe. Amen.
Yeah.
And He says, then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. So there is the promise that is attached to the action. When we respond in obedience, there is a reward that comes along with it. And He says, I will stop the locusts from destroying your crops. Now, we may not be farmers, but you know and I know that there are things that come against you that blindside you. You don't know. Your washing machine breaks down. You got to get a new car. You didn't think that was going to happen. There's all kinds of things in your business that can be major things that happen. But God says, if you tithe, I make a promise to you that I will be there to protect you against these things that will come against you. You know, that I want God's blessing on my finance. Amen. There's an insurance that you take out when you tithe. It doesn't mean we don't face challenges. We do. But it means that at the end of the day, God will come through on our behalf. Amen. I believe that. How about you? And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, I challenge you, just like God did. It's if you have never tithed, if you've never said, you know, the first 10. My daughter was saying she opened her locker at work this week and it was a $100 gift card that they put in for her. She's immediately tithed on it. I saw a tithe go through online. Now, I'm just saying that because I know that to be true and I don't want to talk about your business, so I'm talking about our business. But, you know, that response, that immediate response, if you haven't found that easy to do, I give you a challenge to let God prove himself strong in your finance this year. And if you've never, maybe you have at times been faithful, and then you know you've gone through some shaky times, some scary times, and you're like, I better hold on to this and save it for a rainy day. I challenge you to step up and make a commitment. And if you're here today and you say, I just really, I'm going to trust God in this area, just like I'm going to do something more physically and spiritually, I'm going to take a step financially and do something that the Word of God asked me to do, right? If you want to do that, the ushers have a little card that they're going to give you. If you want to put your name down, I would love to encourage you, send you an email and encourage you. I'd love to send you a book that would just strengthen you in this area. So we're just issuing that challenge, and if anybody is interested in doing that, just indicate to your ushers and they'll hand them to you right where you are. But right now we're going to prepare to give. There are envelopes on the seat where you are, various ways to give, as you know. I love to text give. That's my, it's my two texts and it's done. Really easy. It's up on the screen. But we appreciate your giving. We know you give to the kingdom of God. We know you give to honor God. But we appreciate that you do it in this house. We appreciate what we've been able to do. We appreciate that we've been able to do everything we need to get this building secured, that we've had every bit of finance along the way, and that we have more than enough for closing, and we believe the rest will be here for our renovations. And God is faithful, but I thank you that you are faithful. We really appreciate that you are faithful to the Lord. Amen. So if you prepare your giving, in a moment the ushers will pass those bags by. Visitors, if you'll just drop your one card in, we appreciate it. If you have that tithe challenge card, just drop it in, and we'll get a gift to you this week. Amen.
Wonderful. You know, Wednesday night, we had Connect Group at our house. And we had a great time. How many people went to Connect Group this week? Maybe hadn't been. I'm telling you right now, if you're not going to Connect Group, you're missing out. You're missing out. We had such a great time at Connect Group at my house. And more voices were saying, and I'm going to put you on the spot, voices, but I love the fact he was sharing how that he really, before he started attending this church, before he started coming to Christian Family Church, he really wasn't that excited about giving, and he wasn't tithing. He wasn't a tither. And he started coming to our church, and he started hearing, you know, the Apostle Joel's shares every week, and he stepped out and he started tithing. And he said, you know, now he actually gets excited about giving and tithing. And so he has a full-time job, but he started renovating homes, buying homes and then renovating it and then selling it. So this year he renovated two homes. He bought two homes, renovated them, and sold them, and made a good profit. In actual fact, he made an extra $45,000 this year over and above his normal salary. And he's so excited about giving that now he actually came over to my house to drop a check. He came to my house to say, I've got my tithe check. I'm going away. Can I come drop it off? Now let me just say to you, you are welcome to come to my house anytime you want to drop off a check. Don't hesitate. Pastor Steve, I'm on my way. I've got a check. Come on over. So that's what he did. He brought this check. And he said, you know, Pastor Steve, it's amazing how things have changed in my life because I'm so excited about tithing. And this year, he's trusting God to renovate four homes instead of two homes. And I believe instead of making $42,000, he's going to make an extra $100,000 this year. Extra. It's amazing what happens when you begin to obey God and honor God. Amen? Well, we are so glad to have my good friend, and I don't say that lightly, Dr. Alan Bagg. I've known him since the days that we were at Pastor Theo's church. We both got saved at Pastor Theo's church. We both were on staff at Pastor Theo's church. We both were associate pastors. Man, What year was that? What year did you get saved at Pastor Theo's church?
1989.
So then in 91, the Lord called us to go and start a church in Cape Town. And then in 1994, the Lord called Dr. Allen and his wife Janine to also come to Cape Town, and they went on the other side of the bay, the other side of the city. They're about 45 minutes on the other side of town. And then, but every month, just about every Monday, was our regular thing. We'd get together and we'd have lunch and we'd just, you know, encourage one another and talk about the ministry and the church and what's going on. And so we've known Alan and his wife Janine for many years now. 89. What's it, man? 30 years coming up. Almost 30 years. And he and his wife Janine pastor a great church in Cape Town. They have a number of campuses. They have thousands of people that attend every week. He is a television program that goes throughout Africa every day, 11 million people. Is that right? And it's in the US as well, it's on television. And they're just such great friends of ours. They are good friends of this church. I want you to know their church last year sent $15,000 to help us with our new building. They wanted $15,000 to help us. So I want you to know it's always a joy for me to have my friend with me. We went scuba diving on Thursday. It was okay. Not my conditions. I like it like the water flat, 100 feet visibility, 80 degree temperature. I'm not real spoiled. And it was a little rough. I got ill. I was throwing up. But he doesn't get ill. I don't know. You can put him on a 200 foot wave up and down. He'd never get ill. He'd never get nauseous. But it's wonderful to have you. And I want to ask you to, won't you welcome Dr. Adam back this morning.
Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Everybody well and blessed?
Yes.
Well, it's good to be in the house of God. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so good to be back here again. And I bring you greetings from my wife, Janine. She's not with me this time. But we spoke on the phone. She says she wants to come every time in the future. So I'm excited about that. But it's good to see what God is doing here in Jupiter and surrounding regions. I know that Jesus is building his church.
Amen.
And if Jesus is building it, then no one can stop it. No demon, no problem. And if no demon can stop it, no hell can stop it, then no human can stop it. And no matter what man might come up with, Jesus will always keep building his church. Isn't that amazing? Our kingdoms have come and gone, but the kingdom of God continues to increase. And you're a part of that. And it's so good to be here. As Pastor Steve said, we're such good friends with him and Jill. It's been so many years, and the kids know each other. It's really been wonderful to grow up in the Lord. And to know that you have friends that you can consider good friends. The Bible says there's a friend that's closer than a brother. And, you know, when they say that blood is thicker than water, they're not just talking about the fact that you're born of the same blood. That word, that blood is thicker than water, comes from the concept of covenant. Where covenant is sealed in blood, that blood is way more important than water. The birth of water, even. Amen. So it's good to know that we have family over here. While we're in Cape Town, Jesus is building his church in Cape Town. There's revival in Cape Town. Don't worry about what's on the news. I'm not moved by circumstances. I'm moved by the word of God. And as long as there's one righteous in a city, God will protect it. And he's building South Africa, and I believe we have a good, strong leadership. Things are well. The church is growing and expanding, multiplying all the time. We've outgrown our building right now. We're looking for property to build. We've got four services on a weekend, and they're all overflowing. So thank God for good problems. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of God. How many came ready to receive?
Yes.
You know, it's so important to know this, that expectancy is the key to receiving.
Amen.
Expectancy is the key to receiving. Someone sits there and says, I dare you to bless me. They're not going to get anything. It was the woman with the issue of blood that pressed through the crowd and said, "Today I've come for my healing. I don't care what anybody else does. I've come for my healing." She got it. And when, you know, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Ever since, but everyone's touching you. There's lots of famous people, you know, they all want to get a hold of, you know how you want to shake a person's hand, just get a selfie with them. Okay, it was 2,000 years ago, but you get the picture. But the point is, a lot of people were touching him. But one person touched with expectancy. And they received the anointing. Jesus said that was her faith. Perfect. Amen. How do you have faith to receive today? Well, let's stand together and pray and get right into it. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your precious love and your precious grace. We know that you are here. You said if two of us would gather in your name, that you would be in our midst. And so we've come as a family to hear from heaven. And so I'll make it publicly known. I put no trust in myself as a limited human being. But I do trust you for a supernatural grace, an unction, to speak only that which you've given me to speak. And as I do, by your grace, I speak it with clarity and accuracy. And as your word goes forth, you'd ignite it with your presence and take it deep into the heart of every hearer, which causes faith to rise and dispels every form of fear. And as minds are renewed to your word, understanding replaces confusion. I believe that each and every one of us today are transformed from glory to glory. And for this we give you alone the praise and honor in the name of Jesus. If you really receive it, you shout amen. Praise God. As you see, to open your Bible in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now this morning, I want to talk to you about understanding the law of confession. Now, back home, I did this in six parts over six weekends. So today, we're going to get the highly summarized Reader's Digest version. And so we need to listen really fast. Amen. But what I'll do is it's a launch pad into the study. But what I have done is I've brought all six parts with me on an MP3 so that you can expand your study. So I'm going to kind of hit the headlines, just prepare the ground, but then you can get the messages and you can continue to study out the rest of it. As I say, six parts. But we've also included, have you got that slide of this? So there you can see the six part. Normally that the six part series just on this goes for $40, but because I knew it was coming over here and I don't get to come that often, what I did is I included all the other teachings I've done around confession as well, kind of like an extra bonus. There's a four part series on possession by confession. Very often we're wondering why we don't have anything yet. Everything we have in our life today is a result of what we've been saying. We'll get into that in the message in a moment. So if that is a truth from the Word of God, and I know that God's given me a promise, I can reach out for that promise and receive it. And it's built around confession. I showed that on that second series. The third one is your future is in your mouth. Your future is in your mouth. And then the fourth one, watch your mouth, brother. That was just a little two-part faith booster that we did at one point. What happens is sometimes when we learn these things, we can start to slip up. And how Janine and I did, when we started learning how powerful words are and how they can affect our future, you don't want to walk around. It's like walking around with a shotgun without the safety on. That's highly dangerous. That thing goes off in the wrong direction. You can hurt someone. So you've got to watch your gun. Isn't that right? Watch where you're heading, that thing. So watch your mouth, brother, because what you're releasing is going out, even though we don't realize it. And that, we put into a book series, but the book's out of print at the moment, but it is in audio as well. And I give on that series, all the scriptures that you can take and confess in order to get the understanding of confession and make sure your mouth is headed in the right direction. And so that's a great way to build up your faith for that. And then the last one is a two-part series, Power of the Spoken Word. So collectively, that's $115. But on this flash drive, that'll be $50 for today. So you get all five teachings on that. So I encourage you to get a hold of that because it's going to really help build and develop your faith in this area. Let's have a look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Oh, goodness. Does this thing have an angle as well? just that the light is shining right on the screen. Just 5 degrees even. It's just that backlight reflect. Yeah, perfect.
Can you tighten it now?
Yes, that's perfect. Excellent. You can just stand and hold it for me. Okay. Great. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Everybody say law of faith. Now, the word law is interesting because if you think of law, particularly if you think in terms of a church and Christian setting, when we say law, we immediately think of the Ten Commandments. You know, the old covenant law, where people say, I'm no longer under the law, I'm under grace. But when we understand what law means, laws aren't just things that are established to control people. You know, for example, here, your country has a certain number of laws in place. Lots of legislation, a lot of control. And sometimes people get frustrated with laws because they feel like it's holding them back. But how do you know if there's a law that governs the speed limit on your highway, that's not just the government trying to control your speed. They're not just trying, they don't want anybody going faster than your top speed limit. Why is that? It's to make sure that they keep a safe environment. Over time and over experience, they found out certain speeds are too fast. That's why some roads, they may set the speed limit. And after time, when they've had a few accidents, they may lower that speed limit just because of the nature of the road. And so the law is there, the written law, is there to protect you because of natural laws that are in place. For example, if the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, and someone goes screaming down that highway at 80 miles an hour, and something goes wrong, they've got very little chance of correcting that. So now the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, someone drives down there 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, and never gets caught, may wonder what's the purpose of the law. Nothing ever goes wrong, they think what's the reason for the law, and continuously break the law without realizing that that law is there really for their own good, to protect them. So when you violate the law, we may think of initially the punishment that if a traffic officer catches you, he's going to issue a fine. So a lot of people don't break the law for fear of getting the traffic fine. So if they know there's no traffic officers anywhere, they may try their luck and go a little faster, but that's not the reason for the law, so that you don't get a fine. The fine is to enforce the law because of the principle behind the law. So when we look at the laws of the Word of God, we will see it from that perspective. It's not like we've got this ridiculous control freak who's trying to look after the whole planet and he's got these unreasonable expectations that he's put out a whole list of rules, and if you don't keep them, I'll kill you. That's kind of how religion has seen the law in the past. Whereas we recognize when God gives us laws, it's because He knows how life works. He says, if you do this, you will die. Not I'll kill you, you will die. If you do this and you carry on, you may get away with it the first 10 times. But if you carry on living this way, it'll land up in your destruction. So if we look at it from that perspective, we see the reason God gives us laws, I don't keep the law to go to heaven. Jesus sorted that out. By grace, I'm saved. But the laws were there to guide them to Jesus. And recognizing that the laws are there for a reason and they help protect me in my life. Because there are principles that govern this world. For example, we have the laws of physics. The laws of physics are good things. They operate, they make things work. Like within the laws of physics, you have the law of gravity. Now, is the law of gravity a good thing or a bad thing? One could argue that it's good, but ask the guy who just fell off a 30-story building how good the law is. Because that, the fact that he fell off a 30-story building, that law of gravity is going to end in his death. But generally, the law was built for good. Thank God we've got gravity, otherwise today we'd all be floating around in the sky trying to hold on to each other, not bump into other things, and be very difficult to get around life. So law, the gravity, was designed for our good. But if we don't understand it or abuse it, it can destroy us. So the fact that the laws work and they are governed and they're there in place, they make sure that we understand the law and we use them correctly and effectively, then it is to our advantage. And so by the same token, the whole kingdom of heaven is governed by laws, by principles. And a law by definition, now there's a lot of different laws, but one that I heard that really stood out for me in terms of what we're talking about here, a law is a principle based upon predictable circumstances of an act. Let me say it again. A law is a principle based upon predictable circumstances of an act. And very often you will hear in religious circles where people say, you never know what God's going to do. That kind of puts a mystery out there. You never know if God's going to wake up in a bad mood today, who he chooses to bless. You know, it's like there's this big lottery wheel in heaven. Let's see who gets the blessing today. And no, you were really bad yesterday, so I'm still upset with you and I can't bless you. And you get this whole idea that God's just the sovereign God and he just wakes up with this mystery and just decides to do whatever he wants to do. Yet he's given us a book full of promises that if you do this, you will get that. If you come to this point, you'll have this result. If you seek me, you will find me. Knock and it will be open. Call and I will answer. And we've got predictable outcomes to circumstances. Bring the tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven. I will bless you. Sow your seed, I will bring you a harvest. So those are all promises that we hear from God, and they are predictable.
Amen.
You never have to wonder what's going to happen. And so when we understand laws from that perspective, that they are predictable, that if I put certain things into motion, then I can get a result get results out of that. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then, before we move on, I just wanted to show that last scripture, Romans 3:37. So having said everything I've said, we see that faith has a law. We can go back to the previous scripture, please. Where's boasting then? Excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. So faith has laws governing how it works. So if we understand the laws, we can put them into operation and get the same result every single time. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 14 now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, confession is what you say. It's what you speak about. And notice he says here, we have to hold fast our confession. What does hold fast mean? Hold fast, you already recognize, is an action. If, for example, something was rolling down the hill and I managed to grab it, but I want to get something to stick underneath it to stop it from rolling, and there's a rope hanging off the back, but I can't reach it, and I ask you, will you quickly grab the back rope, just hold on to it, hold fast now, I'm going to let go to go and get that block over there. So I give you hold fast. Now you know you're not going to stand there with a rope lightly in your hand. Because the moment I let go, that thing's going to keep rolling. You're going to take that, wrap it around your arm, maybe around your body. You're going to hook into it. I may be holding it. I say, okay, I'm going to let go now. So you're digging a little more. I said, I'll let go on three. You ready? One, two. And you know on three, you're going to give an extra little dig, hold extra tight, and then I can let go. And you've got it. What are you doing? You're holding fast. The Word of God says we must hold fast our confession. It's something that we've got to watch over and look after. Because if we say the wrong thing and we speak the wrong thing, we're going to land up with the wrong results. Yeah. See, this world today is governed. We are being taught to teach, to speak the wrong things. This whole world is controlled around the concept of death and fear. Yeah. Even in our speech. I'm dying to go to Mauritius. What's the point of dying? You want to get there alive, don't you? My feet are killing me. Tickle me to death. I found somewhere one day and I said, can I speak to Mr. So-and-so? They said, I'm afraid he's not yet. I said, don't be afraid, he is coming back. But can you hear how fear and death are governing the way we speak? We'll say, careful, Johnny, don't climb up there, you're going to fall. Crash. See, I told you. No, did you hear what you said? You are going to fall. Isn't that interesting? We so easily speak and say the wrong things. And it's something that we need to watch out for, because the devil is trying to stop what God has prepared for you to get into your life. And what God has prepared for you has to be reached out with your confession, and then you're going to need to hold fast to it, because this world is going to do everything it can to rip it out of your hand. And the way that the enemy knows how this law works, he will use our very own confession to rip it out of our lives. And we need to watch for that and govern our speech and make sure that we make accurate confessions in order to see God's promises come to pass in our life. Now here we see confession. So in the law of faith, just the same way the law of flight, for example, you think of the law of flight, it has a number of different forces governing it. The law of flight, you do understand that the Wright brothers did not invent flying. They discovered flight. If you took what they knew and took it back into the Garden of Eden and gave it to Adam, Adam could have built an airplane. Adam would have flown. So when you look at the law of flight, if we don't understand laws and how they work and how they operate, then we can be in fear. The reason why people fear is because of a lack of understanding, like, for example, flight. If people don't understand the law of flight, they can be afraid of flying. Once you understand the law of flight, your fear of flying leaves, because you realize an airplane doesn't want to fall out of the sky. It's been built to stay in the sky. So when you think of the law of flight, it has a whole bunch of laws governing it. So first of all, we've got to overcome gravity. We've got the law of gravity. The law of gravity is overcome by the law of lift. Now the law of lift only works when there is wind passing over the wing. It relies on friction. So you've got to have friction coming into the plane. That will cause the law of lift to operate. For that friction, that wind to be passing over the wings, you need the law of thrust. Okay, we'll stop there. So we'll just use those four. Obviously, there's all kinds of other things inside there. So you've got the law of thrust applying friction, which causes lift, and it overcomes gravity. And the fact that you've got four different directions, you can control exactly where that plane needs to be in the air. And as long as you control whichever one it is correctly, that pilot can keep that plane wherever he wants it to be. No matter what happens, that airplane, he can control it and look after it. It's only when a law is horribly violated that something goes wrong. If the wings break off, okay, there's no more lift anymore. Gravity wins. And that's what's going to happen. So when you understand that, you've got different, the law of flight has different laws built into it. The same way the law of faith has a number of laws built into it. We've already said in the beginning, expectancy is one of the laws. But now, today I want to talk about the law of confession. Now, when you study out the Word of God, you'll find out there are four basic types of confession. There's the confession of sin, Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. That's where under the Old Covenant, they would even confess their sins to John the Baptist. He would baptize them. Under the Old Covenant, they would be prepared for salvation. Then you have the confession of the sinner today. That's where you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You also have the confession of the believer. So once you're born again, you're saved, you're forgiven of your sins, But then if we do fall into sin again, 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sin. God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all sin. And then you have the confession of faith. Now, all four of those laws work on similar principles. Much the same way a diesel engine works on the same laws. So whether you put the diesel engine in a motor car, or in a tractor, or in a truck, you may get different functions out of those vehicles, but the diesel engine still works the same way. So we can look at any of these laws, the different types of confessions, get an understanding of how confession works, and then apply it in the area of faith. So to do that, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. So now we're going to learn the law of confession. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Okay, so right off the bat, we find out that faith speaks. So the law of faith means I'm going to hear you have faith. I'm going to hear something come from you. So faith talks. Faith is not just believing. We'll have a look at this. The righteousness of faith. So this is the right way faith works. Everyone say the right way faith works.
Right way faith works.
It speaks in this way. It says, do not say in your heart. Okay, so now we're going to start with what you must not say. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. So faith does not ask for Jesus to come on the scene. Come on, how do you understand what I'm talking about here? How many, when you first got saved, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, and I started listening to Pastor Theo speak, and he started teaching all these different things from the Word of God, I wanted them to work. I wanted them to work. But how many of you have ever been to, you know, you go to a fair or an expo or something like that, you notice how these guys have got a table, and then on this side there's a whole bunch of things that need to be done, and he's got this gadget, and he puts the thing together very quickly, and then he takes the stuff and then he has a result. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he takes the next one, look how easy it is, you just have this, and he sprays, and he and does this, and you see, wow, I need one of those. You didn't know you needed it until you visited. And now you do need one, and you buy it, you take it home. Not only does it not work, you can't even put the thing together. It's like, where does this piece go? Where does that piece go? Then when you kind of got it together, you get your thing that you want to change, and you put it in, and it just doesn't function the way you wanted it to function. The guy back at the store made it look really easy, and he made it look like you can do this thing in 2 minutes, and yet you're half an hour later, you're still trying to get the thing to work. That's kind of how I felt when Pastor Theo taught on faith, and I went home and tried to apply it. I remember the first time I ever stood in faith for healing, I got the sickest I ever got in my life. It was like every demon in hell was reassigned from the planet to my house. How do you know exactly what I'm talking about? See, that's Mark chapter 4, where the word is sown, and Satan comes immediately to steal it. And so I was fumbling with these laws, and I was struggling to work with it. And it's like, I knew it was right, I sensed in my heart I was in the right place, this is the right church, but it just doesn't work the way it makes it sound like from the platform. I'm trying, I'm battling, I'm trying, and I'm getting worse, and I'm getting more sick, my body, I never used to get sick in my life until I prayed for healing. I got more sick than I've ever got sick before. And eventually I got to a place where I just slammed my Bible and I was crying, God! I know you've never been there. I'm just talking about me today. Where are you? I want to believe. If I could just hear your voice once. Come on. I'm not talking about that still leading in the spirit. People in the Bible, they heard you audibly. If I just hear you once, then I will believe. If I could see an angel, doesn't have to be long. I mean, they saw angels in the Old Testament. If I could see an angel, I would believe. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And the Bible says, don't say that. Don't ask for God to come and reveal himself to you in the natural. Why? Jesus said something very interestingly. Remember Thomas, when he was He said, if I don't put my hand in the holes, I will not believe. He made a decision not to believe. And so Jesus, when he showed up, didn't call him out on it. He said, yeah, go put your hand in my side. He put his hand in his side and in the holes of his hand. And he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus, I could just hear it. Oh, now you believe? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. See, there's an empowerment when you see something and then you believe it, like you know the world says, seeing is believing. The only problem with seeing is believing is that if you don't see it anymore, is it still there? See, if our trust system is reliant on seeing God or seeing an angel, what happens when they don't show up anymore? Do I still believe? No, my belief system is not based on what I see. It's not based on what I have feelings for. It's based on the knowledge that God said it. How do you believe the Bible says God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Have you heard that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that if God said he will never leave you nor forsake you, do you believe is true? Do you believe that? Then never again will we say, God, where are you? Because if he said, I'll never leave you, he's right here. Now, I may not feel him. I may not understand what's going on right now. I may be confused with the situation. But one thing I know is you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. There have been times when I have felt your presence, but I don't feel you today, and I don't know what it is, and there's tears running out of my eyes, but I can put my shoulders back and say, God, you said you'd never leave me, you'd never forsake me, and you are here, right here with me. That is faith. So I'm not calling for God to show up in my situation, in the natural. So then, what does it say? Look at verse 8. What does faith say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. Everybody say word of faith. So here you can see word of faith is not a denomination. People say, are you that word of faith people? What do you mean by that? What are you talking about? What is word of faith? Oh, what are you from that group or whatever? The word of faith is not a group. My question to you, if you're asking that question, is are you a Christian? Yes. Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Well, the word of God, Paul, is a word of faith man. That is the word of faith that we preach. Why? Because he says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. I've had people come to me and they walk up and they say, it's like that one scripture, you know, when I just said, you know, I'm dying to go to Mauritius. I taught this, it was one day, I taught the message and I used that exact illustration. I'm dying to go to Mauritius. What do you want to be dead when you get there? And then somebody came up with their friend and they're from Johannesburg, we were in Cape Town. And this person's a member, brought their friend from Johannesburg, and said, this person watches you on television, and she's dying to meet you. I had just spoken about the word of death. And so sometimes people do that. They walk to you and say, I am so sick. And I say, well, praise God. God sent his word to heal you. His word, he watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return void. Jesus bore away your every sickness and your every disease, and by his stripes you've been healed. Now, the reason I'm saying that's not to lecture you. I'm speaking life. His words are life. But they heard me criticizing. They said, no, God knows my heart. But hang on. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So if it is in your heart, it needs to be in your mouth as well. In other words, I want to hear what's coming out of your heart. If you believe something in your heart, that's why people now ask me, how are you doing, Pastor Allen? I say, I'm always well. That's my standard answer. I'm always well. I remember we were on an airplane one day, walking down the aisle, and someone who didn't know me just... We got stuck in the aisle getting to the seat. And so the person next to me just looked up at me and said, hi, how are you doing? I said, I'm always well, thank you. He said, excuse me. I said, what's the matter? He says, how can you say you're always well? I said, it's a choice I made. And the problem is, you see, that people don't understand that. Because if God says He supplies all my need, He's healed all my diseases, He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing, He's given me all things pertaining to life and godliness, if He's for me, who can be against me? I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. If there's so many promises, and you want me to lie against that? If you're asking how my body is, that's another question. You ask me how I am. Did you get that?
Yes.
I said, yeah, but you know, just be real. I am being real. Because I know that on the confession of what I believe in my heart, it's going to come out of my mouth. Amen. So the word of God is in your heart and in your mouth. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So it's not just believing. See, even the devil believes, and yet he's in fear. He trembles. The devil believes more than some humans, but he's not saved. Look at verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Remember, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. So with the heart you believe, it puts you in the right place. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So even though someone believes, until they speak it, salvation doesn't happen. Even though when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the full price for all of mankind. Every human has the right to be saved. And yet somebody went to hell. Why? Because they never got it out their mouth. It has to be spoken. The speaking of it is the trigger that activates what's already in your heart. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith. Everybody say, spirit of faith.
Spirit.
This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not even your human spirit. This spirit here is an attitude. Like you have team spirit. It's an attitude. You can tell a team spirit by the way they act. They have a winning atmosphere about it. And so there is the spirit, an attitude of faith. If you're in the household of faith, what is your attitude? What is your spirit? According to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So I can tell very quickly, within 5 minutes of a conversation, of where that person is in their faith temperature. Even though they go to church, where is your belief in God? What are you believing God for? What am I hearing? That's something that Janine and I watched in each other's lives. When we said, watch your mouth, brother. As we spoke, we would listen for each other. We'd help each other. And sometimes, just you're caught up in the moment, you say something, because that's the way we've been conditioned to speak. It's just a figure of speech. Yeah, the devil likes that ignorance. Because the same way you have a bullet in the gun, you can say it's just a bullet, but if you pull the trigger, it's going to hurt someone. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. No, words have power. Amen. There are people here that have fallen and been cut and had serious wounds, and those wounds are healed. You may even have a scar to remind you it was there, but the pain of it is gone. And yet there are things that have happened 10 years ago that still hurt when you hear them. They dig deep. Words have power. And so we also believe and therefore speak. So we help each other. If somebody says something, you say, now is that really what you want? Amen. Is that really what you want in your life? And so we need to watch for that and just help each other. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the devil. You're going to let me get away with that? Oh, they don't have it up. Maybe that's what happened. Death and life are in the power of God. See, that's what a lot of people think. Do you have Proverbs 18, verse 21? Can we have it up? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, whether I live or die, depends on what I say. I says, well, I don't believe that. Or keep reading. Those who love it will eat its fruit. See, only when you cooperate with the law will you see the success of that law. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whether I live or die is determined by what I speak. My words every day are realigning my life. See, words have power. This is a word kingdom. The whole of the earth has been created by words. In the beginning, God said. And he said, light be. And the moment he spoke those words, when he said, light be. Now, I know it's translated, let there be light. But in the original Hebrew, that's how it says. It says, this is how it's written. God said, light be, light was. He wasn't having a conversation. He wasn't suggesting, let there be light. What do you think there? No, he commanded, light be. And the moment he said it, he released power out of him in a unique form of glory that became the natural realm. And within that natural realm, everything that he wanted, he spoke by words. It was governed by words. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 1. This is a word kingdom. It is governed by the word. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Praise God, that's me too. Amen. How many of you are an heir of Jesus? Yes. Through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Notice, not by the power of his word. He upholds all things by the word. See, God used his power to create. Let's say he created this planet, and then he used his own power, his own strength and energy to spin the planet. You know, just with the laws of friction, eventually that planet will stop rotating. So he'd have to speed it up again. Every now and then he'd have to get involved. But once he spoke the word, that word went into action and it doesn't have to be rewritten. When he said, light be, light was, and all those hundreds of those thousands of years ago, now that light is still moving at the same speed as when he first released it. Isn't that phenomenal? Everything he does. When you take something off of a tree and there's a fruit on that, that tree came from a seed. That seed came off a tree. That tree came out of a seed. Which came off a tree. Came out of a seed. Came off a tree, which came out of a seed, off of a tree, which God said tree be. Oh, hallelujah. Once God said tree be, he put that thing into motion that here we are thousands of years later. When you plant a seed, you don't have to ask God, please activate that seed. It's built into the seed to activate on what he originally said in the beginning. Now, there was a tree that violated the system. I remember Jesus came across a tree supposed to have figs and it didn't have figs. It stepped out the system. So he says, no one eats fruit from you ever again. He spoke. Didn't do anything else. He spoke and walked away. He didn't go and pray over it. He didn't lay hands on it. He didn't cry to God over it. He didn't get out a pick and a shovel. He just left it. He didn't care if it was poisoned, if an animal ate his root, but no one was eating fruit from that tree ever again. And what happened? It listened. It happened. Why? Because this is a word-governed system. If we believe that, family of God, then we're going to believe the truth of God's word. Yeah. Remember, God said as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. He says there'll be winter, snow. Those are laws, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Winter, summer, law. Day, night, laws.
Yeah.
So now, right now we're in day. Is there anybody here concerned that they saw their last night and are wondering when the last night, when the next night's going to be? Or do you think it's going to be within the next 12 hours or so? No worries? You didn't even think about it until I said it, isn't that right? It's the same way. Right now, it's winter, but there is a summer coming. It's going to get really hot. Even though it's cool today, there is another hot. Write it down. You'll be amazed how accurate I am. There is another summer coming. Why? It's laws. So the same way, if there's a seed time, you have laws governing a harvest. It's guaranteed to you. You have a harvest on its way. Why are we worried about it? And so I make that choice. I put the law into motion. Just the same way a pilot is not afraid of flying, he'll sit at the end of a runway and he'll take that airplane and he'll gun that thing up full speed. You don't have a pilot sitting in the airplane saying, I wonder if this is going to work today or not. Because I watched a whole bunch of YouTube videos and I saw a bunch of planes crashing and you never know what a plane can do. No, he takes that thing and he guns it full speed and that thing heads down the runway and that is a short road. Some runways end in the ocean. Hello. Why is he putting that airplane hundreds of miles an hour heading down a runway that he knows is ending in the ocean? Because he's relaxed and all he's doing is he's watching one thing, and that is his speed. And when it reaches a certain point, he pulls back on that yoke with no fear whatsoever, and he believes and he understands the laws, and they work every time. When you're struggling and you're battling and you know that there's pain in your body, you say, praise God, by Jesus' stripes I've been healed. Yeah, but look what you look like. By Jesus' stripes I've been healed. Just get real. Just say what you're feeling. By Jesus' stripes I've been healed. Yeah, but the runway is coming to an end. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I know the word is true. And no matter as that runway comes to an end, that law goes into work. And you see your healing manifest. Come on, give Jesus praise. Thank you, God. Even though things don't look like they're working around you, the laws are working. You never have to worry about it. You plant a seed, you may not see the growth, you may not see something for months, but the laws at work. No farmer's afraid he's not going to see a harvest. If he was seeding, he can rejoice over his sand. Because he knows there's a harvest coming out of there. So the same way, get our words right. Align them with the word of God. Let's take the promises of God's word. Even when I'm feeling otherwise, I speak the word. And if I stay with the word, that law, God has designed it that your words will work. He said, amen. Did you get something today? Let's lift our hands to Jesus and just say, Father, thank you for your word. Today I receive that word. And I am a hearer. I'm also a doer of your word. I'm a believer, not a doubter. From this day on, I put a check on my mouth. And I will make sure that everything that I say this year aligns with your word. I speak only that which you've given me to speak. And as I do, I will see every promise that you have given manifesting in my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me just add a little to that for one moment. I'm going to start preaching now. Round two. Are you, you happy for that?
Yeah.
Round two. But I do want to, if you've got your Bible, open with me and just read this one scripture, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And let's see what Jesus said about this. Mark 11, verse 23. You found it?
Yes.
If you found it, say, I've got it.
I've got it.
If you're still looking, say, I'm still looking. It's in the New Testament. Mark 11 verse 23, look what it says. Jesus said this. In fact, I'll read verse 22. He said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What is the law of words? The law of words is defined in that statement. Here's the law of words. You will have whatever you say when you believe what you're saying in your heart. Say, I will have whatever I say when I believe what I'm saying. Now you see, thank God we don't all believe everything we say. But the problem is when you keep saying it, you end up believing it. And you know, I really believe this year, if we are going to become everything God destined us to be, if we are going to have a great, blessed year, you know, I believe God's got great plans for us this year. God's got great blessings in store for us this year. I believe that 2018 can be the best year of your life. But here's the key. It's dependent upon what are you going to say with your mouth during 2018.
Amen.
What are you going to say about this year? And I was watching Bishop T.D. Jakes. Actually, I saw it on Facebook. And someone had posted it. And it was like probably last week at his church in Texas. And he was saying that, he was talking about the power of our words. And he was saying what I'm telling you today, that if we are going to, you know, rise higher, and if we are going to have victory, and if we are going to see increase, and if we are going to see our visions and our dreams and our plans and our goals come to pass, and if we are going to become everything God wants us to, then we are going to have to be careful about the things we say. Because a lot of people are destroying their life with their words. A lot of people don't realize that their biggest problem is an inch from their nose, their big mouth. A lot of people are cursing their life with their words. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says, you are snared, you are trapped by the words of your mouth. A lot of people don't realize their own words are holding them back. I encourage you today to put the law of confession to work for you instead of against you. Are you with me? Put it to work for you. Don't say what you don't want to happen. Declare in faith what you trust in God to happen, and confess what God's word says. Confess God's promises. Here's an example. Like someone says, well, you know, I may say to you, well, you know, have you ever been to Israel? And we want to take a group to Israel. And you say, oh, I'd love to go, but I could never afford it. You just cursed yourself with the words you said. Because you said, I could never afford that. Guess what? That's cursing yourself. What you should say, I believe the Lord is making a way for me and I will be able to go to Israel. I believe God's providing. The Lord provides all my needs. That's what you should say. You getting this today? So let's determine for 2018, I believe God has great things He wants to do in your life. But we have to work with Him, cooperate with Him, simply by speaking words of faith, saying what you want, speaking positive. Don't curse, speak life. Don't speak what you don't want to happen. David said, Lord, put a guard at my mouth that I may not sin against you. I mean, you've got to put a guard in your mouth. Amen? And someone says, well, you know, there's the flu season. Everyone's getting the flu. I'll probably get it next. No, that's not me. I always get the flu every year. I told you I'd get the flu. I told you. No. Don't say what you don't want to see happen. Jesus said, whatever you say with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will have what you say. Amen? Say this. Say this year.
I determine that I'm going to
put the law of confession to work for me and not against me. I'm not going to say what I don't want to happen. I'm not going to speak death. I'm not going to speak negative. I'm not going to speak lack. I'm not going to speak sickness. I am going to say what I want to happen. I am going to say what God says. I'm going to declare victory. I am increasing. God is prospering me. I am blessed. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. I am free. I am happy. I'm full of joy. I have peace. In the name of Jesus, God is for me. Who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When you begin to talk like that, you will see amazing things begin to happen in your life. When you begin to speak out in faith, God is able to bring blessing into your life because you are able. He said you will have what you say. Amen. Praise God. So I want to say thank you to Pastor Allen for being here this morning and for being such a blessing to us and to our church. I want to read this scripture from bring it up for me. It's 3 John. Do you have that scripture? Do we have it?
Yes.
Please put it on the screen. 3 John just has one chapter, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in what you are providing for the brothers, especially when they are strangers and they have testified before the church of your love and your friendship. You will do well to assist them and send them on their way in a manner that is worthy of God. For these traveling missionaries went out for the sake of the name of Christ. They are accepting nothing in the way of assistance from the Gentiles. So we ought to support such people, welcoming them as guests and providing for them so that we may be fellow workers for the truth, that is, for the gospel message of salvation." The Bible says when someone comes into our midst, like Pastor Allen, he's not a stranger, but when someone comes, he travels through for the sake of the name of Jesus, preaching the word of God, bringing people into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that we should provide for them, that we should send them on their way in a manner that is worthy of God. And that tells me that it would be possible to send someone in their manner, send someone in their way in a manner that is not worthy of God. But my friend Ed Trout, the regional prophet Ed Trout, he's going to be here next month. And he said that he went to preach at a church one time, and at the end of the service they gave him a box of chocolates. He says, "You know, my car doesn't run very good on chocolates. I try to feed it chocolates, it didn't work." How many of you know you don't get by on a box of chocolates? Well, we are a generous church. I tell you right now, you are so generous, you are such givers. Aren't we? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I'm talking good about you today. You are generous givers, and we are going to receive an offering. We want to help Pastor Allen. You know, he paid all his own way to get here. And when I go to South Africa, Jill and I, we always minister for Pastor Allen and Janine, and they always are so good to us. They always treat us so well, get us a great hotel. I mean, they bless us so much. And so we want to be a blessing to him, and we want to be a blessing to his family. And so we're gonna receive an offering for his ministry this morning. And if you want to give, just use that envelope. Is there another envelope there? Of course, you can give various ways. You can give online. You can give by text giving. Everything that you give in this offering will be going toward Pastor Allen. So thank you so much. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your servant, your son, Allen Bagg. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for that he is my friend. I thank you, Lord, that he has been a friend to this church. I thank you that he and his wife have helped and sown and given into this church, Lord. And I just thank you for blessing them. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would provide them with the land to build a bigger building. I pray, Lord, that you'd open that door and that you would just supernaturally bring them a big piece of land they can build a new big building on in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for everyone who's giving today. I thank you, Lord, that our church is so generous. I thank you for generous givers, Lord. You said that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver. I thank you that whatever we give this morning, Lord, that you said that when we give, that it would be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you for blessing every giver in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. I want to ask us just to please go ahead right now, just pass those offering bags, receive from God's people this morning. Before we're gonna be closing the service in a moment, in about another minute or two. Have any of you taken the time this week to start getting your vision board together? How many of you started working on a vision board? Wave your hand and go to vision board. Hold it up. Stand up for me. All the people working on a vision board, stand up. Now all the people sitting down, those standing up, I want you to turn to them sitting down and say, what a program. Get your vision board.